Welcome back. It has been a long time, but we are finally back and we look a little different. This is Talking Pylons. I am your host, Mike Napolitano, and I have a new co-host beside me. We're going to get to that in just a second, but we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about all the things we usually do, the SHL, Schaumburg Hockey League. We'll be talking about my ice rink. It's coming up. It's being built and it's in the process. We'll be talking about the Jofa Dusters. Are they ever going to hit the ice? And, you know, maybe get some interviews from some semi-pro guys here or there, talk about the little boys, give them a big voice, you know. But I want to introduce my new co-host. He's been a guest on the show before. His name is Jake Ratner. Everybody just calls him Rat. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Welcome to being a co-host of the show, no longer just a guest. In that time, a lot has happened with your hockey career, but I want to go back to the beginning. Where did you get your start and your love for hockey?
My love for hockey came from my older brother. He was the first person in my family to play hockey, and just growing up, having an older brother, looking up to him, I just kind of did everything that he did. I basically just copied him, kind of like how every little brother does with their older sibling. So I started playing hockey and I loved it. And I started out as a goalie, and my older brother was a shooter and he just ripped me apart, scored millions of goals on me when I was little. But it was a great decision that I played goalie, and I'm so glad that I played hockey.
So, yeah, so you played goalie when you were with, remind me again, it was it
the Renegades and Chargers?
Renegades, yeah. And then I always want to say Phantoms for some reason, but no, it's Renegades and then Chargers. And then you move up high school careers with Chiefs. Talk a little bit about your high school career. You switched over to becoming a forward at that point.
Yeah, so I played goalie for Renegades and Chargers until I was 15. And then after that, I went on to play Central States, which is AA in this area. And I switched over to player, played two seasons at Central States. My third season, which would be my U18 year, I decided I wanted to go play high school hockey. So I played for the District 211 Chiefs, which combines of five different schools from District 211, Conant, Friend, Hoffman, Schaumburg, Palatine. And it was so much fun to play with all my buddies back from when I was a little kid, and being able to reunite with them and play the sport that we all love. And I'm so glad that I played there. It was probably one of my favorite years.
Now, you put up a lot of big numbers. Talk about some of your highlighted stats, just so the viewers can kind of get an idea of what your career was like in high school.
My high school career, I only played 1 year, played 40 games exactly. I put up 110 points. I believe it was 40 goals, 70 assists. And I played Central States. I don't want to say high school is bad hockey, and just we're in the lowest division of varsity. So it was a little bit easier for me, but I mean, we had a lot of guys on our team that were still good enough too. And like I had my two line mates pretty much all year, probably two of the top favorites that I've ever played with. And we just gelled with each other. And honestly, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have put up as many points as I did. But I'm just like, I put up 110 points, and I love talking about it.
Yeah, the Connor McDavid of high school hockey sitting right here, folks. So now after high school, you moved to Peoria to continue your career and play NA3 hockey with the Mustangs. You did a year there, but before you even got there, we had you on this podcast, episode 24, I believe it was. This is technically episode 26. We had you on for episode 24, and we just glossed over your SHL career. And at the time, you had only had one Stanley Cup. You were a rookie. You came into a team who did not have Mike Cross. He was supposed to be their captain. He was on the IR. He didn't make it. You had to step up in big roles, and you did. That was also the year that I was, I don't know if I was even named an alternate captain that year, to be honest with you. I know I wasn't the captain, but we all kind of had to fill that captaincy role and take the reins. And You won MVP that year. You won the Stanley Cup as a rookie. But then you go back and you did it again the next year. Now, that next year would be this current year, 2022. You were with the Edmonton Oilers. And I know we're moving a little ahead. Peoria's kind of in the middle here, but we're going to go back to Peoria. But now you're a two-time defending Stanley Cup champ and two-time defending MVP. And I wasn't in this year's game. I held to my word that I was going to retire. And I did that. I commentated this year. It was a pleasure to have to watch you go up and down the court with all eight wheels this time. I'm pretty sure you had a.
It was like 6 and 7. Like
Yeah.
I like mid game, like two of my wheels, like they didn't like break, but like the rubber came off the plastic part and I had to push it back on and it was just moving all game. So it was a little bit rough. But that was like later in the second. So it was most of the game.
The 2021 game, you guys can go back to that interview on the 24th episode, but we talked about how he sounded like a jackhammer coming up the court because the one wheel just wouldn't come off. And I don't know how the hell you skated. It was the front wheel. But regardless, back-to-back champs, back-to-back MVPs. And what are you looking forward to in the future here for the SHL?
Well, I mean, I'm captain next year and I'm excited to draft my own team and be a captain of a winning team, you know? I mean, 3 years in a row would be great. Great for the MVP too, but I'm looking to hand that MVP trophy off to one of my teammates next year. I hope that we can win the championship and I'm excited to play again. I mean, the SHL is just, I've been in it 2 years and it's been two great games and I love it.
I'm excited to play again, is what he says. But that's also my headline. I'm excited to play again because I am coming out of retirement just for 1 year. Whether I win or lose, it's going to be 1 year, and then I'm going back to broadcasting. That is where I'm gonna get my meat and potatoes is broadcasting. I'm still a decent player too, but I cannot sit by and let you become Thanos and get another ring on your finger, another stone on your glove. I have to come out. And then I guess if we're on the same team, I guess I'm at least giving you the cup because there's no way we're losing. But I'm not letting you get MVP. Maybe it's a selfish teammate, but I'm gonna show that I'm still the old dog out there, but you could teach me new tricks. So looking forward to actually getting a chance to play against you though too. That would be pretty cool. And then have to stop you. And I got my work cut out for me. I know. I get it, but I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna do it. Look at this guy smiling over here. He's like, yeah, bullshit.
I just love how you think you got a chance, man. I mean, like I really hope you do. Like, I hope you do because it means you just put in all that work to stop me, and I hope you do stop me. I'd love to see it.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want to stop this interview because there is still more to talk about, but we have to backtrack a little bit. In between your two SHL career games, you went and did a whole career in Peoria with the Mustangs, as I mentioned, NA3 hockey. So talk a little bit about that. And I will say before I even let you dive into Peoria, you playing roller hockey with us and even just a little bit ice before going to Peoria and after, completely different story. I mean, it has changed you as a hockey player and as a person. So dive into a little bit of that and give the fans a taste of what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, Peoria Mustangs, they're part of the NA3HL, which stands for the North American Tier 3 Hockey League. I think before, like you said, I mean, it was completely different before and after. I mean, going into it, like I mean, I was still a teenager, and going into it, I was excited to meet some new people, play some more hockey, and learn new things about life and hockey altogether. The whole hockey part, like I mean, I met like a whole new team, and like that's my favorite part about hockey is every year if you change a team, you meet a whole new team, you get a whole new family, and everyone just becomes your brother. Like that's just how it is, or sisters. I mean, I don't want to leave girls out there, but we had all guys on our team, so it was all brothers. And I mean, it's just a whole new family, and especially with juniors, like you're not living. I mean, most of the players weren't living with their parents. I mean, a lot of like I did, I billeted, and that's the whole person part of it. Like, I learned how to live in somebody else's house, how to clean up after myself, how to make myself dinner, how to like all these little things that like make you a great person, and like how to respect people's things. And I think that was one of the best things that I could have done was build it with another family. And I always thank my billet family for everything that they did for me. They're great people and took me in and took care of me, and I appreciate everything from them. But some of the friendships I made on that team, I mean, I think are gonna last a lifetime. I mean, I'm hoping I stick with my buddy Thomas Kaner, as you know. He played in the SHL last year too, actually. But I mean, there's just friends on this team that I hope I stick with my entire life, and I hope I never lose them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Thomas Kaner, we'll be getting him on eventually, pretty soon. May possibly even next episode. We're gonna leave that in the works though for now. He is, like you mentioned, an SHL alumni, so he will definitely be coming on this podcast at some point. And then, of course, he was also a Mustang with you, so we'll be getting him on for that too. A bunch of other names. I don't want to go through them all right now, but it would be a pleasure to get a lot of NA3 players on, even higher. I mean, we want to climb the ranks. We don't. As we mentioned in our previous 25 episodes, we don't want to be that podcast that tries to compete with Spit and Chicklets. What they're doing is phenomenal. They're changing the game of podcasting and hockey at the same time, and they're getting on some absolute awesome professionals. Some of them are I'm actually related to, not to put anything out there, but Tim Stapleton. Anyways, that would be awesome if we got him. Anyways, we want to give a lot of these younger guys, some lesser known people, a platform to talk about, and even some known people. We do have some connections with the Hockey Sauce Kit Boys. Just throwing that out there. So eventually, the goal is to get them on this podcast and give them a platform. Not that they need one. They're doing pretty well for themselves out in the All-Star games and Stanley Cup finals. So that should be exciting. Yeah, so but we will be talking NHL, which is, leads me into this next segment. The first thing I want to talk about is the New Jersey Devils. What is going on? How are they a good team? Why?
I mean, like I said it a couple of years ago, pretty much when Jack Hughes was drafted, I was like, this team is going to be good in a couple of years. And when Luke Hughes was drafted to the team, I mean, he hasn't played any games with them yet, but I told myself, all my buddies, if Mackenzie Blackwood can figure it out, they're going to be dangerous. And I'm not actually completely sure if he's playing right now. I think he is, but Mackenzie Blackwood has figured it out, and they're on a huge winning streak and just absolutely destroying the league.
Yeah, they do play tonight. We're recording on Monday. I will also say, I know this is not my usual location for recording. I'm usually in my basement in the Hawks den with all the Hawks stuff behind. You know anything about how our season and our rebuild is going? I might not be in that basement anytime soon. I'll still rep my team, but it's been tough. We are at Illinois Media School. We do not have the Sports Town Chicago room, though, so we're recording in separate studios. You've got the red one, though, so you're just doing fine because we're talking about Devils and Hawks, so it's on point. Me, I guess I'm in like a Predators mustard yellow room or Blues. Speaking of Blues. The reason I mentioned them and not Bruins, because we don't want to give Marco Gomez any credit on this podcast. The reason I mentioned Blues, but it's yellow, is because the Blues, we're going to get into these reverse retro jerseys soon, but we got to talk about this Blues losing streak first. It did unfortunately end once they played the Chicago Blackhawks, but the Blues, man, off to a slow start. I mean, if you told me the Devils were going to be on an 11-game win streak and the Blues were going to be on, what was it, like a 5-game losing streak, I would have been like, as much as I don't like the Blues as a Hawks fan, you're nuts. You're smoking something because that sounds so backwards. The Devils are good and the Blues are not. I mean, what is going on? As a very avid Wolves fan, your family has season tickets. And you've been with the Blues even back. You've been with the Wolves even back when they were the Blues affiliate. What have you seen in this Blues team that maybe could account for this strange slow start after being all Stanley Cup champions? Hurts me to say that, but in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Wolves were affiliated with them, and a lot of guys that, or not a lot, but like some of the guys on the Blues were with the Wolves, and I watched them play. And like, for instance, Jordan Binnington, I mean, young. He was a good goalie, and something just got to him. I think it was just that winning that cup, I think, got to him, because now he thinks he's a top dog and he thinks he can do whatever he wants, and it's just not good. I mean, there's other guys on that team from the Wolves, but I mean, it's not just the players individually, it's them playing as a team. I mean, they're like, they just can't get the puck in the net, and they just, their defense is just falling apart all the time. I just, the Blues are, like you said, they're falling apart. I mean, of course, it was against the Hawks that their losing streak was done, but they finally got a win. But like, they're just losing, they're just falling apart completely.
Yeah, I mean, it. I won't say that they should be a top dog because in previous seasons, I believe it was either last year or the year before that, they went up against the Avalanche in round one, and Ryan O'Reilly said, "We're gonna have fun and we're gonna beat them," and they didn't do either of those two things. They got swept four straight, and everybody saw that coming because the Avalanche were a much better team going in, and. The Blues were still a playoff team. Obviously, they were in that spot. They had earned the right to have that position. They just weren't that cup contender like they were in previous years. But I mean, with the team that they still have there in St. Louis, people were thinking that, that journey is not over. But with a slow start like that, I don't know. You have to kind of start weighing your options and see where the future of this team goes. But as far as weighing options go, the Sharks are another team that are in. They've already weighed their options. They already know that they are a cellar dweller team. They are going to have to sell. One of those key pieces that they may be selling is Erik Karlsson, and man, does he look like the golden ticket right now. This man has put up, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but this man is putting up his career record numbers with the Sharks. He's already tied his points total. There was a season that he had in Ottawa, and he was on a point streak as well. And I mean, this guy's just tearing it up. And at this age in the game, who do you think's picking him up? I mean, I'm not saying that nobody is, because honestly, any team looking to make a run is going to want this guy right now. He's hot. But what do you expect when you sign a guy that age but is producing like this? And for that kind of cap hit too, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's been going off this year. I mean, just some of the goals that he's scoring, some of the plays that he's making. He's a defenseman. I mean, he's putting up points like no other. And he's an offensive defenseman. He's always been known as that. And now he's, I mean, he had 4 or 5 years where he just wasn't producing like he used to. I mean, it's pretty much when he left Ottawa, like he just wasn't pr producing like he used to. And now he's right back to it. And I don't know what hit him, but I think that whoever decides to pick him up and however much they decide to pay him, I think what those people can expect from him is to keep putting up points like this. I mean, he's this old. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's this old and putting up this many points this early in the season. I mean, that just shows that he's a hockey player.
He's 32 years old as of right now, and he's played 20 games. He already has 11 goals and 17 assists, which is 28 points. He's a plus two on the ice. I'm looking at his previous year stats, and I mean, the only time that he's been on pace like this for, I mean, he's had a full season in Ottawa, where he had 16 points and 66 assists. So he's got a ways to go to climb up to get to assists. But as far as go, well, he had one year, 2013, 2014, where he had 20 goals. That looks like his season high is 20 goals, and he's already at 11 this year, and he's only 20 games in. He's only a fourth of the way. I'm sorry. Yeah, a fourth of the way. I can't do math right now. Fourth of the way through the season. And he's already halfway to his career high in goals. And that same year, he had 54 points. He's already almost at 20. So, I mean, this guy is playing peak hockey at the age of 32, similarly to how a Patrick Kane would be, but he's a defenseman. So you don't quite expect defensemen to be this offensive, putting up points like this.
Yeah, I mean, if he could keep putting up points like this, he's gonna be a top guy in the league for points
No, for
wise. I
sure.
mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, like even like Cale Makar last year, like he was putting up points like crazy. But like Cale Makar is a young guy who can move, and like I'm not saying Erik Karlsson can't move. He can move very well because he's in the NHL. But like he's an older guy. And he
Right.
does have a lot more experience, but it's just unbelievable what he's doing at his age as a
Yeah,
defenseman.
that's a good comparison. He's an offensive defenseman, and the only one that stands out in my mind right now, just because he's just won the Stanley Cup, but that offensive, Cale Makar, and it's good company to be in. Cale Makar gets compared to Bobby Orr all the time. So, I mean, if you're gonna go the comparison route, and yeah, that's a company that you want to be in the conversation with. Conversation may get a little dry if it's only one person and not an actual interviewer. You know what? Before I jump to this, I want to hear your predictions though. If the Sharks most likely will have to sell, where does Erik Karlsson go, do you think?
I mean, there's just so many places he could go. I mean, I can always see him going even back to Ottawa. I mean, I feel like they're making a push right now, signing Claude Giroux in the offseason. And I mean, they got Alex DeBrincat. I mean, they have a pretty solid team. If I mean, I don't even know. I can't even think who their goalie is right now. I'm drawing a blank. But I think they're a pretty solid team. And if they could pick up Erik Karlsson, he could put up points like he is now. He's that team's looking dangerous.
I would say, yeah, Ottawa to me is a bubble team, and if they want to get that extra push, you sign Karlsson. But I don't know. I could also see him maybe going. It's tough to say Vegas because that's same division. It's a team that they missed the playoffs last year for the first time in their history, and I don't know if they have to make the. I mean, they're doing great right now, but will it be sustained? And do they make the push to get into the playoffs? What does their cap look like? I don't think they would be able to retain somebody like Erik Karlsson's contract. But I mean, what other teams could? I mean, Tampa is looking to shed. They're always looking to shed because they have to circumvent the cap all the time. I know what you're going to say. So that, yeah, they're going to put somebody on IR. But I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I could see maybe going to the Rangers, but do they need somebody of Erik Karlsson's skill set and also price tag? Not really. So,
I don't think so. They got Adam Fox.
yeah. So, yeah, I could see a bubble team like the Senators being that team. Senators goalie is Cam Talbot.
Oh, right.
But he wasn't he didn't he didn't pass his no I'm sorry that was Leafs goalie, wasn't it? Who was it that didn't pass their physical? Was it Mike Smith?
I want to say it was
Yeah,
Mike Smith, and that's Oilers.
and that's Oilers. Yeah, I was looking at a Cam Talbot picture with an Oilers sweatshirt on, and I was like, wait, it wasn't Oilers. But yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah, Cam Talbot. Yeah, I could see Senators. Okay, going forward though, I was talking about having a conversation with one person. Were you able to catch the clip of David Pastrnak interviewing himself?
Yeah, that was great. I always say like I always look at who's the funniest player in the NHL, and Pasta's got to be up there. I mean, he's just so funny. Watching his mic'd up videos or like hearing him do something like this, Pasta, but like his interview of with himself, like he's such a funny guy, and I love listening to him.
Yeah, he has been a pinnacle of funny clips for the past several years. I mean, he's a gold mine. He had that one clip at the Lake Plat. Oh, I'm sorry, I almost said Lake Placid, Lake Tahoe games, where he came out and he was in the pink sunglasses, and they're like, "What's with the getup?" And he was like, "While we were listening to Barbie Girl." We covered this on the podcast as well. He was like, we were listening to Barbie Girl song, so I was wearing my glasses, and you made me miss Barbie Girl. But now he's sitting down in the Bruins locker room. We'll play the clip.
All right, I'm waiting for him. How long before he comes out?
Could be a couple minutes.
Could be a couple
maybe
minutes.
Like 5 minutes. I'm not kidding.
All right.
What would you ask him?
I would definitely ask him about the first half. So, what do you think about the first half? The first half, you know, we obviously didn't make our shots. I think we had a good looks. You know, the defense was playing well, but we didn't make our shots in the first half, and that dictated tape on that dictated play on the second half. Okay, what has changed on the second half? The second half, a lot of change. You know, we made our shots. You know, we had a lot of luck offensively, and I think, you know, we dictated tempo from then, and I think we got a deserved win. It was pretty tight game, sir, and you know. It was pretty tight game, you know. Oklahoma, obviously coming into the Boston, you know, especially you guys were rolling pretty good. How did you guys feel? How did you guys prepare for the game? We prepared, you know, same way like for every team, and they gave us a hard time, but I think our guys, our group, respond really well, especially going into the second half. I think we dictated tempo, and it was our game to win, and you know, big points in our standings. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
And he's just interviewing himself. Nobody's there. I don't know if somebody was supposed to be there, and they just missed the opportunity, missed their train or bus ticket that day. But yeah, Pasternak's just sitting there interviewing himself. And he did a pretty good job at it too. I could see a career, if his English gets a little better, a career in sports media right after playing.
I don't think his English needs to get a little bit better. This is great. Like, I just love the way he talks.
That's true, actually. I mean, with the accent, I still like prefer him over some commentators. And I know everybody's going to go the Pierre Maguire route and rag on Pierre Maguire, but I love Pierre Maguire for his little Sidney Crosby's favorite cereal back in third grade was Cocoa Puffs. And I tell you guys, that is the whole reason that he is the player he is today. He was telling me, now see, I'm more of a wheat thins guy, about as thin as my hair, but Sidney Crosby, one of the greatest hockey players to ever play, and it's all because of Honey Nut Cheerios. Thank you, Doc and Eddie. But yeah, that's my audition to play Pierre Maguire in the movie that they're eventually gonna make on it. I'll do my Doc Emmerich. If I don't get that spot, I'll put in to play Doc Emmerich next week. Oh, ricochets wide and it's waffle boarded to the corner, basically. So, oh, we got a knock on the door.
Oh,
Henry,
yours goes this
week.
Yeah,
okay.
On Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll be out here. Okay. Don't even clip it. Keep it in the show. We will. Should we? We'll probably save reverse retro jerseys for next week then, and we'll just do a short intro episode. We have a lot to talk about though. Still, too, we have Hossa's jersey retirement and Malkin's 1,000th game, and then the Thanksgiving deadline coming up. So, why don't we just put this on pause, and then we will we'll continue it in just a second. Okay. And we're back. We got kicked out of our studio. I didn't realize the IMS is only open until 5 o'clock on Mondays. I'm not a Monday student, so it's my bad.
I'm not a student at all.
Yeah. They just let this man in. Yeah. Anyways, so we are back where we leave off. We had, like I said, we had a lot to talk about, so we weren't just going to leave you guys hanging. We have to talk about the reverse retro jerseys. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We're going to photos. Don't look at my explicit photos. Uh-oh. Don't look at that top one. That's, what's it called? That's a sneak peek. I don't want to tell anybody about my other podcast that I'm going to be starting up anytime soon. Hint, hint. Anyways, we're going to get it started here. We're going to start off with the West. We'll just go through. We're not ranking them this time. I know in the past we've ranked them. What are your thoughts? I'll pass it over to you first.
My thoughts, number one, I know you said we're not ranking, but this is my number one jersey. I love the Anaheim Ducks jersey. Like, it just brings back the Mighty Ducks and throws an extra little twist on it with their new colors. And I think it could be a little bit more with the shoulders, but with the diagonal angling of the lines at the bottom and on the sleeves, it's just, I love it. It's probably one of my favorites for sure.
Absolutely. I'm going to be extremely disrespectful right now and just be eating my Chipotle. No, as far as ranking, you can still rank them. You can still have your tops, your favorites. I just meant we're not putting them in the tier list like we have in the past. As you said, I love this. I even love it with the new Ducks colors. You know, the other one that they brought back for reverse retros was the duck crashing, you know, the cartoon duck, superhero duck crashing through the ice. I like that jersey, but not as one that you wear in like professional sports. It's still a little kiddish for me. Don't get me wrong. Cool design. Color scheme is on point. But I do like going back to the hockey mask duck, you know, the Jason mask face and the color scheme. It actually works. It's a very good. Next up, we have the Vegas Golden Knights. I absolutely love this one. I know it looked kind of plain when you just look at it. You're like, what's so special about it? I love the small details, and I love the fact that this jersey glows under, like in the dark, and under a black light, there's like certain little symbols in the Vegas lettering that you can see. Just the small details on this one is pretty cool. Other than that, you know, it's a diagonal lettering like the Rangers or the Penguins have done, Pittsburgh. It's not anything super cool to write home about, but it, you know, it included their colors, and I like it. It's a dope jersey. What do you think?
I think that it's pretty cool. I mean, it is very plain, but at the same time, it glows in the dark, and I don't think a jersey in the NHL has ever done that. And I don't know if anybody's seen the Vegas Golden Knights skate out, but thank you.
Yeah.
No one's ever seen the – if anyone's ever seen the Vegas Golden Knights skate out from the locker room, it's pitch black. They got a bunch of lights going, and the letters just glow up. And I love the font that they use, that it's, it kind of looks like a knight font. You know, like when you think knight, a font, this is the one you think of. And I do like how they incorporated that. And overall, I think it's a pretty solid jersey.
Yeah, it's like something you'd see at a castle, you know, lettering-wise.
Yeah.
Very good input, because a lot of people have been saying there's no practical use for the glow in the dark, but you've been to a game, you've seen them come out in the dark, and so I guess it would glow there. So very cool. Moving along, we have the Kings, and I've never been a big fan of this symbol. I know it's a very old school. It's a big throwback. I always love the purple and gold colors. It is a little bit like Lakers, you know, and you already have the LA Lakers. But you know, nonetheless, it's cool. I don't think I like it more than the last one that they came out with. But I don't know, still pretty good. What do you think?
I mean, I like it. It does pull back the old crown logo. It's kind of like the most out of the three we've seen so far. I feel like this is the most plain. I mean, it's just a generic jersey with the straight lining at the bottom and the arm sleeves being all purple. And I do love the colors. I think it's a great color scheme. But yeah, it's a pretty solid jersey. I mean, you can't hate on it too much, but it's definitely not my top 10.
Not my bad. My bad. Next up, Calgary. What do you got for this one?
I hate to say I like this one, but I don't want to say I don't like this one. I mean, the only thing I don't really like about it is that diagonal at the bottom. And it just like stops. Like if it went through the whole thing, it might make it look a little bit better, but it just stops right under the logo. And it just kind of throws it all off for me.
It's so weird. That's why this jersey, I put it in the trash bin, because I mean, everything else about it, I think, is great. I do like the striping on the sleeves. I think that's kind of cool. Kind of looks race car-ish. I like the black with the white C on it. I think that's a really cool contrast and different from what they usually do. But, God, I mean, it's just such an eyesore to see what are they doing with that bottom. I know, you know, we've ragged on jerseys already that have just had a plain striping at the bottom. But, like, we didn't ask for this instead. It's just not it. I'm sorry. It's just not it.
I think what Calgary could do with this is have the lining be a flame instead of lines. Kind of throw that little extra.
People have proposed, and I'm not sure if this was ever made into an actual jersey, but you know how in Chicago we do a lot with the skyline? People have proposed the Calgary skyline in like flames. Although, I mean, the Calgary Flames were actually originally the Atlanta Flames, so named after an actual tragedy that happened. So I don't know. Is it kind of in bad taste to like set your city on fire at the bottom of the jersey? I don't know, but that would be kind of cool. All right. This one, as much as I hate the Canucks, this is one of my favorites. I don't know if I could put it at the top. I did put it at the top when we were talking about this before. solely because of the fact that it's original. It's something that they haven't done previously, really. What is a Canuck? It's a Canadian person. So, I mean, that I think exemplifies a Canadian person. I like how they've changed it. It does have a little bit too much sweater vibe for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, would I wear it even though I don't like the Canucks? Yeah, which is why I put it close to the top of my list here.
Yeah, I mean, I love this jersey. I think it's probably one of my top ones for sure. I mean, they have the same logo in this jersey as their AHL team, the Abbotsford Canucks. But I don't have anything bad to say about this jersey.
Very nice. I don't know, but would you take the numbering off the chest or would you leave it?
I kind of like that.
I kind of like it too. Yeah. Some people have criticized that, but I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Seattle. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle for me, I mean, I don't hate this. I just, like, it's hard to have a reverse retro as expansion team. That's true. This is, what, their second season in the league, and they don't have a retro jersey. I mean, neither does Vegas, so we can't really be shitting on them for that. But I think that this jersey, to me, all they did was just reverse the colors.
Yeah, I think they added a little bit of striping too, didn't they?
Yeah,
compared to their regular one. I still love it as a jersey, but as a reverse retro, I think this looks more of like an alternate, which I understand it's hard, like you said. You don't have much history. There is the Seattle Metropolitans. I think I read somewhere that this is what they were going with. I could be wrong on that. There were a couple different directions that people said that they could have paid an homage to history with, and they didn't go in those directions. And that's why some people criticized it. But, I mean, they did go in a direction. Yeah, Seattle. We're looking at the Metropolitans jerseys. It's a lot of striping. I think if they would have done something like that, it looks too much like a Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they didn't go that route, but they added some striping, I think, to try to look like that. This could be just me remembering the details wrong, though. But, I mean, regardless, it's a cool jersey.
Yeah.
I think it needs a little bit more at the top, though. There's a little too much blue in the chest that goes up into the shoulders.
Yeah. I think maybe even adding a black stripe to the shoulders or something.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. We were the Golden Seals your first year in the SHL. So I have a little bit of a bias here, but I don't know, man, whether I was a Golden Seal or not, those colors, the old Golden Seals, California Golden Seals colors, they're just filthy now when you bring them back, the teal, the yellow, and to have it mixed in now with the Sharks logo and actually have the Golden Seals font, I think it's sick. Now, you can say this jersey is a little on the plain side, but I think the less you did with this jersey, the more it really just speaks for itself. And I think that they hit the head on the nail here.
Yeah, I think this is very retro of them. I mean, the font, like you said, is the Golden Seals font. And just that little detail of the whole point of this being a reverse retro jersey. Like, it's making a retro jersey and reversing it to make it a new one, you know? And bringing that retro part of the font and even the colors, like, it just really brings out the whole point of the reverse retro part. I love this jersey.
It's awesome. Yeah. This, it may be the top in my book. But let's move along. Let's see what else we got. We got Edmonton Oilers. What do you think?
I think this one's a plain jersey as well. I mean, I believe in the past you've said you don't like this logo. I don't mind this logo. I wish that it was more of just an oil drop instead of the whole thing. That's just my opinion on it, but it is a very plain jersey and you can't hate it, but you can't love it.
I don't know if I'd say I'd hate the logo. It's not my favorite Edmonton Oilers logo. I guess the new one is my favorite, but that's just kind of because that's the one I've grown up with. I understand other people have grown up with this one, but I mean, of course, the other one is the one that Gretzky wore most of all. So, I mean, you kind of have to love that one. That's peak Edmonton Oilers logo. This one, though, not bad. I do wish there was a little, like you said, a little less like black, maybe a little bit more colors in there, maybe a little extra striping or whatever. But it's good. I think all of the teams have at this point worn their reverse retros. And somebody said that when they pair it together with the socks and the pants, these look beautiful. I have to agree. They look good. It's not the worst that they've done. I did like their other reverse retros better that made them look like creamsicles. As much as some people hate them, when you put them together with the pants and everything, it did look like they just foamed it in when you just look at the jersey itself. But when you look at the numbers on the back and they're that like new orange, and then the pants were orange and the socks were, it was the whole kit. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was awesome. Dallas. Now, this is from the Dallas. They did those Spaceman jerseys, the all white. Was there other reverse ones?
Oh, yeah.
I like this one so much better. And for them to go to the old logo and you can actually see it this time, it's not all white. I loved it. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like I said with the Sharks, like bringing back that old logo. And honestly, this looks like their old jersey, just with a little bit more pizzazz to it. I mean, it just kind of stands out a little bit more than their old ones did. I mean, the green is lighter, but I like this jersey. I mean, it's a Central Division jersey. I mean, us being Hawks fans, we can't really love the Central too much, but I do. I very much love this jersey.
Got more green than my guac cup right now because I ate it all. You want any more chips?
No, I'm all
right. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, as you're right. As much as a Hawks fan as I am, I'd consider buying one of these if I had more money. Okay. One that I would not buy, though. I don't know why they ever thought this was good. And anybody that asked them to bring back the mustard yellow, you're insane. You don't belong out on the streets. You belong in the mental asylum. Because, like, oh, my God, what is this? And I don't even like the cat symbol in the triangle. Just none of this works for me. And then the Nashville thing at the top, it looks like the old Reebok jerseys, which, you know, I did like the old Reebok jerseys. But, like, it looks like where, like, the brand logo would go. Like, Nike on my chest right here. Like, that's not where you put your city name. I don't know. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the mustard color at all. I mean, this is a plain jersey too. I mean, it's all yellow and it's got what, a couple stripes of white or gray or whatever that is, and then a couple stripes of black. And the logo, I don't mind too much. I mean, changing up the logo for reverse retro, I honestly don't mind it that much because it's not supposed to be your jersey. So. I don't like this one very much, but it's definitely not at the bottom.
They should have brought the fossil back. There was a logo that they had that was an old the whole reason they're called the Predators is because they found a fossil of a saber-toothed tiger when they were digging up the arena. And one of their jerseys, they had the fossilized version. Oh, yeah, there it is. That's the fossilized version of it. I think it looks sicker. Maybe incorporate that somehow, but I don't know. This one missed the mark for me. Okay, so we can keep going. No. Speaking of missing the mark, go for it. What do you got?
Gosh. As Chicago fans, we want to love it, but we just can't. I just can't. I mean, I know you don't like them either, but I can't. It just, I don't think there's anything to like about it. I don't know. What do you think?
So when you have these colors, you really can't go wrong with the color scheme. I think the striping and the coloring isn't bad. I think it can work if you put an actual logo on it. And I understand the Blackhawks have had to come up with like 600 different jerseys in the last 10 years because of all the outdoor games we played and all the reverse retros. But I mean, when you take into consideration the other reverse retros that we came out with, those were sick. These, oh my God, it's just so tough. What is that font? That Chicago font? Like, is this Sesame Street? Like, I don't understand. And of course, yeah, you're going to then put your main logo on your shoulders. But I would have liked the reverse. I would have liked the tomahawk in the front then too. These don't do it for me.
Tomahawk in the front or even like at the bottom instead of those lines have the Chicago skyline.
You know how the tomahawk is in the C for Chicago when it's on the shoulder? Make those C's tomahawks. And then I would consider buying this jersey. Right. Even if you slightly changed it like that, I'd be like, that's a cool little detail. Yeah. But this is just so boring. For and sure. They wore them on the ice the other day. We'll get to that. But anyways, Minnesota. Subway. Eat fresh.
Very much.
Yeah. The other reverse retros that they did were the away version of this. They were white as the main color. Now they made them home. I don't know. What were your thoughts?
Subway Fresh, you know, like when I see these colors, the first thing I think of is Subway. I mean, I love their logo, but they didn't really do anything to it. It's the same thing. They just changed the colors.
And right.
It's more of an alternate jersey to me than anything else.
I do like paying homage to the North Star's color scheme. Don't get me wrong. Bring back the North Star. And
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, when you're going to do it like this, I don't think of North Stars first when I see this. I think of Subway.
Right.
And I don't know. Do you want to be associated with a guy like Jared? Anyways, Colorado. Now, their other reverse retros were the Nordiques jerseys. However, they had the Colorado Avalanche color scheme. This is more of the Colorado flag. I think the front of the jersey itself is a little too plain for me. I get that they wanted their Colorado C to stand out. I just didn't feel it fit with the striping on the sides. It's not terrible, but it's a step down from what they've done before. So I don't know. This one gets a C from me. Haha, get it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the Colorado flag. I mean, I get you're representing your state, but I did like the Nordiques one better, their old ones. It's more of the retro. I mean, I'm going to keep going back to that, the retro part of it. I mean, that's the whole point of these jerseys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they had the Colorado Rockies as a hockey team, but I get that they're trying to do that too, but this is a little bit too much of the flag and not of the actual team. The Jets. What'd you think?
I honestly love these. I mean, it's very plain, not very retro-ish, but I love the colors. I love that light blue that they added to it. I think that light blue really makes it stand out more and kind of separates everything from that dark blue that they have as the lettering.
Yeah, absolutely. The other reverse retros that they had come out with were like these, but less coloring. They were mostly gray. These, I get that they're white, so they'll probably be wearing these on the road, but I do love the whole, like you said, even though they seem plain, I do love it. I like that it's like a whiteout because they do a lot of whiteouts when they make the playoffs and stuff like that. The gray ones, when you look at the whole uniform, they're kind of sicker, but there was just no color to them. So I'm glad they added color. And these are beautiful. I do like the old Jets logo. And yeah, that blue is a nice blue. This was the old Coyotes reverse retro. We're going to get back to that. Here's the blues that I was talking about when I was in that room. That was probably the same color as the walls. The history behind this one is the St. Louis Blues, when they were given a team, they wore shirts at the signing that had this logo on it because they thought that was going to be eventually the logo of the Blues. That ended up not being the case a year later when they would become a team. So these are retro, but this symbol has never been worn on the ice. Do I like it? It does fit the retro, but the yellow, it's just a little too bright for me with the lines and stuff. It makes it a little too busy. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, the yellow is the same as the Predators, if we're going to go with the color. Yeah. It's a mustard yellow, and we said we don't like it before, and I don't really like it too much on this, but the thing that they did that the Predators didn't do is they added more of their other color, which is blue. And adding that blue on the shoulders and like everything just pops out more. I think this color was the right choice with the blue. I think it really was, and it really makes that blue pop out. And I love the music note behind the logo or behind the St. Louis part.
That's true. As much as I do not like the blues, the logoing itself, that old logo that I said never got used, it is pretty cool to see on a jersey. The Washington Capitals. Now, they took the eagle and they put it on a black jersey. What were your thoughts on this one?
This is probably as retro as it gets. I mean, this is their old jersey. It says Capitals on the line on the bottom and it has the eagle.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, this. I mean, there's not really a whole lot to say about this because, I mean, my jaw's on the floor. This one's really cool, too. I'd put it up in my top five. It's so hard to pick a winner, clear-cut winner. But, yeah, this one, like you said, it is the definition of the retro, and it is their old jersey. And although I do think that they reversed the colors, right? I don't think they ever wore it in black. But this logo is sick. This is one of the best logos the Caps have ever had. of course, with the Capitol building on the shoulder patch. It's just, I mean, there's so much that's just perfect about this jersey.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving forward, we've got the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, I loved their other ones, the red ones that they came out with. I think the red really popped. I also like their cream-colored ones that they wear as an alternate with the cannon on them. This one, I also love. Love's a strong word. I like these. I think they're a step down from what they've done before, but I still do think the blue is nice. It's a blue that they have not gone with in previous. I mean, mostly they've been like that navy blue. This is more of like a lighter, almost Rangers style blue. Well, we'll get to the Rangers in a second. I like them. I know some people had a problem with the way the sleeves are and the plain blackness of the jersey, and they didn't switch up their logo, but I like them. What are your thoughts?
I like them. I think the only thing I would critique on is change the logo. Yeah. And make it that Canon logo that they had or something different, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks, again, too much like an alternate jersey to me.
That's true. Yeah. The Devils. Now, we mentioned their 11-game win streak. That's great. This jersey?
Not so much.
I get that they're also trying to do the Colorado Rockies thing because the Devils were formerly the Colorado Rockies before the franchise was moved to New Jersey. But when Colorado's doing it too, some people love this jersey. I just can't get behind it. It's not their color scheme. The other thing that I don't love, and Devils fans are going to hate me for this, I don't like when they do those Christmas-style jerseys either. Your colors are red, white, and black. And when they do the Christmas ones, like if you're going to wear them at Christmas, love it. That's beautiful. Like, that's awesome. You look like Santa Claus. But, like, when they wear them and it's not anywhere near Christmas, it just doesn't make sense. Where's the – you're the New Jersey Devils. There's not green in your state flag. There's not green in your organization, in your color scheme, your typical color scheme. It doesn't make sense to me. And this – if I had to put things up, though – the green makes more sense than this does. I get it. It's the Colorado Rockies. Like I said, the history part of it makes sense. But these colors with your logo, like, it just doesn't do it for me.
I don't like it very much. I mean, it's plain. Colors are not very good. If they made the logo part of the colors, it might have changed it a little bit. But yeah, the logo is the exact same. It literally looks like they took the patch off jersey and put it on this one.
I think they put that blue.
Oh yeah, there it is.
They put the blue in here. Usually it's a black ring around and then it's a black outline. So they did kind of incorporate the colors, but like where does this yellow fit in? Like right. It doesn't, and they never switched this. Granted, it's a cool logo, but like switch it up. Have an alternate every once in a while. I don't know. Just do something different. Sorry. Pittsburgh Penguins. The Emperor Penguin. I like it more than the diagonal lettering. It's definitely more creative. What were your thoughts?
I mean, this is retro, the old logo. I like it a lot. I mean, it's a plain jersey, but even like the little detail on the arm under that lettering of the white little diagonal, yeah, and then the pink and then the yellow little diagonal. I love that. That's just the little details making it retro.
Yeah, I think this one is very cool. Maybe not my top five, but I'd put it in top 10. It's definitely higher up in the pack. This is beautiful. The New York Rangers. This is the blue that I was talking about before. Now, most people know Rangers to go with one, also like the Columbus Blue Jackets, a navy blue, but they went with more of a regular blue on this. And I think it works. They had their red jerseys with this logo last year. They kind of switched it up and made red in the sleeves and the whole rest of the jersey a regular blue, almost like the Blues style blue. I think it works. I like it. I can't wait to see them wearing it. I don't think I've seen them wearing it yet, but I haven't been paying attention to Rangers games. But maybe seeing Patrick Kane in one of these, you never know.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like this jersey. I mean, it's retro. It's older. Or it's their old logo. Nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Philly, bringing back the Cooperalls, the pants. What is going on? Are you going to a slumber party or are you going to play hockey? Like, the Cooperalls just make no sense to me. Like, why you'd ever wear sweatpants out on the ice? You're not at practice. And it's not even the nice coaching pants, you know, like that you see the coaching staff wear. And this jersey that's supposed to go with them, It just is boring for me.
It's plain. I mean, I think what, yeah, it's a plain jersey. It's nothing great to say about it, but
they changed up the arms a little bit. Yeah. About it. Maybe the numbering on the sides, but
yeah, about it.
I don't care for it. The Islanders. All right, go for it.
I know you like this one.
I do.
I love the logo. It's retro. I mean, we keep going back to that retro thing. So it's a retro logo. I do like the diagonal lining on the bottom of the arms, and I think it's a great jersey. I like it.
Yeah, you said everything I would have said. I do love the logo. I'm glad they brought the fisherman back. I wish they would have gone with more of a wave at the bottom, be a little creative, like their old fisherman jerseys were. But the striping's still good. Maybe a little bit more yellow. I'm sorry, not yellow. A little bit more orange, maybe coloration in the shoulders. But I like that they didn't take too much of a risk with this one, and they just kept that logo as the main focus and let that speak for itself. And it looks good. Tampa Bay. We're going to have differing opinions on this one because I like this one. Like I mentioned with the last one, Islanders used to have a wave at the bottom. Tampa put the whole ocean at the bottom. They put the wave and everything. It may be a little much. It may be a little cartoonish, like I mentioned with the Ducks' other one. But I think it works. The 8-bit rain, maybe they could have, I get they wanted to stick with the retroness of it and have the 8-bit rain coming down, but maybe make the droplets look a little bit better, but I think it works. They got their old logo. The only thing I do not like, and I get they're called the Lightning, I don't like the sleeves at all. Why are the Lightning, why are they kind of curved? Like lightning bolts are supposed to come down. Like, they look like flames. They don't look like lightning. And the I don't know if you can see this from here. The numbering looks cool. It's got like a lightning design, but maybe make that yellow so that it doesn't look like, I don't know, like Bigfoot's, like, doesn't this look like Bigfoot's leg and his foot coming out? Like, I don't know. It just looks like a furry leg. And those shoulders are very plain with the gray. So I don't know. There's mixed opinions. I'll let you speak on this.
I mean, it's retro. The logo is retro, and I honestly didn't see this before. Is this just the lighting, or is it actually purple on the bottom there?
I think it's like a dark bluish purple.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that. I mean, I just hate this arm. I don't know, like, why you would put yellow. Like, it just I feel like that ruins. Like, I get lightning is yellow. I get like that's the color, like gold, yellow, whatever it is. I just don't like it. I think it ruins it.
Yeah, it just doesn't completely fit with the rest. Yeah. And when you make the Lightning look like that, yeah. Stop. Okay, Toronto.
This is about as retro as it gets. I mean, Toronto's always had plain jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, some people said that these are the best jerseys that they've ever come out with. I think they look like all the other ones.
They look the same, but the only thing, I mean, like, the logo's different, obviously, but, like, yeah. I honestly like this logo more than the one they have now.
The shoulders are a little different. The striping is a little bit thinner. Yeah. Not as great. This looks like a sweater to me, and not just because he's wearing a sweater underneath in this picture.
What's going on with this orange? Is that orange?
That's the old NHL logo. Okay, from like early, okay, I got you. Yeah. I do you're like right, that. Right. That fits. But would I buy one of these? I don't know.
I don't. If I did, it'd be a Matthews because he's just unreal.
I liked the Toronto Maple Leafs all white that they wore in the outdoor game when they played the Caps. Yeah. These, they kind of just look like your regular jersey. Not gonna lie. Buffalo, Drew, go for it.
Buffalo. Too much white on the shoulders. I think you need to add a little bit more color to the shoulders. I love the logo. Again, it's retro. I'm going to keep saying that. You guys are probably annoyed by it. It's retro.
Is that what these jerseys are?
I do like the coloring. I can't really see in this picture too much. I picked a bad picture to put on here, but
that's okay.
I can't really see the bottom of the jersey too much, but I mean, it looks like on the sides there, they have the like yellow. Yeah, like the gold and blue. I like that coloring, and I like everything from below the shoulders.
Yeah, it's very good. I maybe I'm too much of a Blackhawks fan, but I do like when they have this They call it a goat's head, even though it's a buffalo. I like when they have this goat's head symbol in black and red, because I think it highlights the eye more. But the gold and the blue work just fine, like their current color scheme. So these are pretty cool. Like you said, a little plain up top, but definitely a lot of cool striping on the sleeves and towards the bottom.
Yeah.
The Sens. Okay. I love you, Vince Cipolla, but I got a bone to pick with your Senators. These jerseys are not bad. These jerseys are fine. It's just, it takes away from the fact that these are reverse retros when you go back to this old logo. Like, your primary logos right now are these logos. So when you guys came out with the reverse retros before, one jersey's main color scheme was black with the red head. One jersey's scheme was red with the black head. I didn't know which one was the reverse retro and which one was the home jersey. It just didn't make sense. These ones are a little better, a little bit of cool striping. But like I said, it's not too retro to me when you've gone back to this as your mainstay.
I agree completely. I mean, there's not too much going on here. I mean, the striping is probably the only thing keeping this up. I mean, that, like you said, the retro, I mean, you brought that logo back already. So yeah, there's no point in having that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody copied the Chicago homework.
Didn't we already go over this one?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It says Detroit.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Somebody copied the Chicago homework, and that was the wrong person to copy. That was the dumb kid in class that you weren't supposed to copy off of, and you got an F.
And you still did.
Yeah. The only thing I will commend Detroit with is they've finally done something other than the wing. They went back to, the lettering, which I guess they've had. I don't know if they have actually ever had that before, in their old Detroit jerseys. When they were the Cougars, they might have the Detroit Cougars. It's still very boring to me, but I could see why Detroit fans would love this more than the previous ones, because the previous jerseys you guys had were, oh my god, they were bad. They were, oh, I guess they have had Detroit, the word spread logo, across there. Yeah, it makes sense. Their Winter Classic ones when they played the Hawks were very cool, I have to say.
Yeah.
When they were at Wrigley. The Hawks ones were cooler, but those were very cool. These, just like the Blackhawks ones, very plain. But for Detroit's standards, it is a step up from the gray practice jerseys that you guys had for the last reverse retros.
Yep, I agree completely. It's just like the Hawks. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay, Boston. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I like the bear head. I honestly, I do. I think that's, I mean, it's a Bruin. Like,
and Bruins?
Oh, and the lining on the bottom and the arms of, like, that, I don't even know how to explain it. They're like, they kind of look like bears scratched it and, like, it just exploded. Like, I mean, I love this jersey. It's definitely in my top five.
I do like the lines. I should be shouting out Marco Gomez because he's our big Bruins fan, but I'm eating one of these right now. Shout out Julia Trenny. Thanks for all the caramel apple pops still from Halloween.
Come on, no.
I know, right? so I'm just going to get disrespectful on you people and just eat this. I don't like this symbol. This is not my favorite Bruins bear head. Which, I mean, it's hard because I don't think they have much more. They mostly go with the B with the spokes. Sometimes they have the full bear across. Sometimes they have the Winnie. This is like the Winnie the Pooh bear. There's another bear that looks just straight up high. And that was the one that they used for the Lake Placid jerseys. Those were not good. But yes, the striping on this, very cool. The shoulders, very cool. Yeah, it's all right. It's good. They wore these against the Hawks. And I don't know, I guess they were the better jerseys in the building.
Not hard to beat the Hawks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, score-wise, it was 6-1. But jersey score, for me, it was tough watching all of that. It looked like somebody's, like, dumpster exploded out on the ice. Montreal. The baby blue. It's cool. I don't think it's one of their primary colors. I don't know where this baby blue came from. I don't know if it's actually retro, but I like it. I think it fits well. It's a jersey that I would consider buying because the color scheme's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're I like this jersey. going back to a couple jerseys we've saw before, I mean, it's kind of more of an alternate jersey.
Yeah.
But I love the baby blue. I think it pops out very well.
Absolutely. Speaking of baby blue, now these two blues are a little bit, different, but wow. These are definitely top three for me. What about you?
Definitely top three as well. I mean, this is, I know I said earlier that the Anaheim Ducks were my top one, and I totally forgot about this one until about 10 jerseys ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about Florida.
Yeah.
This and Anaheim are my two favorite. They're tied. I love this one, everything about this one. There's nothing I could say bad about this.
Panthers knocked it out of the park. Shout out to our former co-host, Mark Levesque. You got what you deserved with this jersey. This thing is beautiful. The shoulder patch as the main logo. Take some hints, Blackhawks. Take some hints. I know our main logo, one of the greatest in all sports, but, I mean, if you're going to do an alternate reverse retro, whatever you want to call it, jersey, put the tomahawk on the front. Just like what they did here, the palm tree with the stick. It's beautiful. I love that the baby blue looks like the sky. Yeah, the stripe. I mean, everything just works for this jersey. How they even came up with this, I don't know. This is a work of art.
And when you see this jersey, I mean, the first thing you think of is Florida. I mean,
oh yeah,
you gotta
100%.
I think they did perfect with this.
I'd 100% cop one of these. This is the new Coyotes one. Now, the reason we had the old Coyotes one in there is because that one was purple. What I've been told is that is supposed to represent dusk. So the sun going down, you know, the moon coming up, it's dark out, that purplish, you know, dark feel of a painting, of this Aztec-y painting. This is supposed to represent dawn. So I love it. Not as much as the purple ones, but I love the Coyote logo, the retro, the patina and the striping at the bottom. I still love them.
I love the retro logo. I love the bottom of the cactuses. It has a very Arizona feel.
Yeah.
I love it very much.
It'd be cooler if you had your own stadium, but you know, you got your own jerseys.
ASU.
And that's it. That's all we got. That was perfect.
Yeah.
So that'll wrap up our jersey talk. Let's see what we have left. We have to mention last night was the Marian Hossa retirement jersey ceremony. His number 81 went into the rafters. We'll put a couple clips here for you.
All right, Hoss, we'd like to have you and your family head over to the banner that will be raised to the rafters to my left, forever cementing your legacy as one of the all-time great Chicago Blackhawks. And now the moment we've all been waiting for. Marian Hossa's number 81 will be raised to the United Center rafters forever, ensuring that for the Chicago Blackhawks, there is only one number 81.
just an absolutely amazing game that I wish I went to. I was thinking about tickets, but I got hit with COVID and things were delayed for me and I was catching up. And then by the time I looked at tickets, they were outrageous. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make it to this game. But whoever was in the house, you had a treat. You had Eddie Olczyk giving the ceremony. You had Marian Hossa and his whole family there. All the Stanley Cup champion winning Blackhawks were there. And what a career Marian Hossa had. You knew this was deserved. The only 81 in Blackhawks history.
Yeah, Marian Hossa was so much fun watching him and growing up. And I just loved every minute of it. And I still remember the only goal, the only top one goal that I remember from him was in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2015. And he got tripped and was falling down, and it was more of like a last desperation shot. And he got it in, and it was I loved watching that, and I love Marian Hossa, and I'm so happy for him.
My favorite Hossa moment is the goal he scored in overtime in round one against the Predators in 2010, because of the fact that you know, he was a guy that he played for Pittsburgh when they lost the cup to the Red Wings in 2008. And then he joins the Red Wings in 2009, hoping that the Red Wings will go back to back. And who do they meet in the finals? His former team, Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's a rematch. And this time the Penguins come out on top. So he was on the wrong side both times, sitting there thinking, I'm never going to win a cup. The next year he signs with Chicago. And here he is getting a 5-minute major, getting put in the box. The game goes to overtime. It wasn't an elimination game for the Hawks. I want to say it was game four. But being down 3-1 and tying the series 2-2 are two very different predicaments. And so he was in the box. They killed the power play, the Predators power play. Hossa comes streaking out of the box, sets up backdoor, puts it in, and does that double fist pump celebration. That was pretty cool. And another Hossa moment just to throw in there, it was that same Stanley Cup run, 2010, game six against the Flyers. And the game tying goal goes off his skate with like minutes to go in the third period. So here he's once again thinking, I'm cursed. Like, we were winning this game. We were about to win in regulation with no heart attacks, they weren't going to make it interesting. They were just going to win and go home. The game tying goal goes off his skate, and then now they got to go to overtime. And thank goodness Patrick Kane was the hero, because that monkey came off of Marian Hossa's back. He finally got his first cup, and from there he won two more. So what a legend.
Yeah.
Beauty.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
But last night it was Blackhawks and Penguins. And so the Hawks have been on a losing skid. It's to be expected. We're in a rebuild. But the reason they had Hossa night was, as I mentioned, he was a Penguin. So a lot of his former teammates were on the other side of the ice as well. And one of his former teammates, Evgeny Malkin, was celebrating his 1,000th game. So I don't know what you saw from this, but
I'm sure you saw it. I loved during warmups, everyone was just mimicking what Evgeny Malkin was doing. They're all on their backs, just flailing their legs around. And
we'll plug the video in here.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, that was amazing. His son also got the boys fired up and read the starting lineup in the locker room. So congratulations, Evgeny Malkin. Well deserved. And just wish that we had never, lost the game, because it was Hossa's jersey retirement. Anyways, though, I will say, and thank you, Jackie Redmond, for pointing this out. I saw her 5 points videos. She mentioned that Sidney Crosby had never scored in the United Center in all of his years playing against us. So last night was the first time that he did that. So. Hurts, but congrats Crosby too. Okay, so Thanksgiving deadline is coming up. It's this Thursday is Thanksgiving. That is a telltale marker in the NHL of where your team is at, because the chances drastically drop for you to become a cup contender or a playoff team if you are not in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving. So do the Hawks buy or sell is the question.
I think they get rid of some people, and I think they pull in some young guys. I mean, they're rebuilding, and what they need to do is get draft picks, a big draft coming up. And I think that think they sell.
That is the obvious answer. But with how well the Blackhawks have actually been playing in certain circumstances, I mean, I know, like I said, we're on a losing skid, but this group of misfits, this group of, you know, Anthony Seau, Max Domi, you know, your only main two guys that are still there are Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. They're finding ways to win games. And, you know, some people would say, you know, do they go for it? The worst spot you can be in at the end of the year is just looking out, just on the outside of the playoffs looking in. You're not going to get a good draft pick, and you're not going to get a playoff run. Even if this Hawks team got into the playoffs, let's be real, they're not going to go far. And that's no disrespect to any of those talented players, but you have to look at what it is. The organization is building this team to tank. Players and coaches do not tank. Players and coaches are going to play to the best of their abilities, and they're going to make it hard on the front office. Luke Richardson said that word for word at the start of the season. He said, we're going to make their job hard. And that's what they've been doing, but it's not going to be enough in the end. So Kane and Toews are probably going to go. Now, there's rumors that the Colorado Avalanche are looking at Jonathan Toews. There were rumors last year that the Colorado Avalanche were looking at Patrick Kane. Now it seems like the front runner to take Patrick Kane and some of his contract is going to be the New York Rangers, so he can reunite with his Russian brother, Artemi Panarin. That would be electric to see. Where do you think they're going to go?
Kane, I would love to see go to New York Rangers. I mean, I think it's going to happen. I mean, the only two places I'm okay with watching Kane play hockey besides Chicago is the New York Rangers or Buffalo Sabres. That's true. That is the only two places I'm okay with him, okay watching him play. Toews, on the other hand, I have no idea where he's going to end up going. I hate to have him leave. He's captain of our team for how long now, and he's Captain Serious. I mean, he's face of the franchise. I mean, so is Kane. So it's going to be tough to see these guys go. But honestly, I can't even think of someone for Toews.
Yeah, my thoughts at the start of the season were with Toews' illnesses and stuff, as I didn't think anybody would really want to take a chance on him. So I thought Toews would maybe be more of a, you know, maybe retire, maybe go back and play. His hometown is closest to Winnipeg. Honestly, with how well Winnipeg's doing, maybe they pick him up to try to give them a push. But I can't see anybody wanting to commit long-term to Jonathan Toews just with all his injuries. He is having a really good season this year. It kind of looks a little bit back to his older ways. However, I don't know if that's enough for any team to really go all in on him. I definitely could see him in a management role, maybe with the Hawks if he doesn't want to go home in the future. That means either, I don't know, say coaching or development or something like that. I think he'd be great at that. So let's hope. But let's we'll see how this year goes. Especially, like I said, that Thanksgiving deadline's headed right our way. Yeah. So we're going to see maybe some changes even now. But trade deadline is not until what, March? February, March?
I believe it's February.
February, yeah. If I'm not mistaken. So yeah, so it will be a while. But yeah, that is about all of our NHL talk. But we actually have a new segment. I was kind of one of our old segments. It used to be called Hitting the Mark, although as you could see, we've lost our marks. We do not have any. It's a sad day. We don't have any more marks on the podcast. I don't know how you go from having two to having one, none. But yeah, we're still here. So this segment is called Missing the Mark for two reasons. One, we don't have our marks. And two, I'm not as good of a gambler as they are. He can't even gamble, but you could give your inputs. We've got a couple games going on already tonight, so I'm not going to give you anything that has started. I'm actually not even going to give you anything that is tonight because you won't hear it tonight. So we're going to go with Tuesday night. We've got – is there more NHL here? Nope, that's just these. So Tuesday is Vegas and Vancouver, Buffalo and Montreal, New York and the Kings. I know the Rangers are off to a slow start versus the Kings. They're on the money line. They're minus 108. The Kings are minus 111. It's close. If I were to take that game, I would take Rangers. I don't think I'm actually going to put anything on that game. I'd want to see how that plays out. Buffalo and Montreal are also really close. Buffalo is having a pretty good year to start off. They've slipped up a little bit. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think the wheels are eventually going to fall off. They're minus 105. Montreal is minus 114. So I'm not really liking anything there either. It's a little too close for my liking. I don't like to throw my money around. It's not even my money. It's FanDuel's. But no free ads. Vegas and Vancouver, though. Vancouver has had a tough opening to their season. So I would go with the Knights. That's probably the one, the only one that I'm going to ride with for tomorrow is Knights and Canucks. And yeah, try to make your money in little bits. What would you like if you had had to put in anything on here?
Pretty much exactly what you said. I mean, yeah, pretty much exactly what you said.
I only covered money lines. In the future, I'll probably cover individual players if anybody's hot, and maybe, you know, pick them to have a point. You know, Mark and Mark did a very good job of researching beforehand what they wanted as far as their picks. Me, I'm a more casual bettor. I just like to see what's going on that night, if there's anything that I really like. I did, you know, to boost my credibility, I did hit a parlay the other night. I had Boston, Colorado, and Tampa Bay to win me. But I put $2 on there, so it won me $7.77. But Tampa Bay over the Predators, Colorado over Washington, and Boston over my own Blackhawks. So that was a pretty easy one for me. I liked that, and then that worked. So chip away at it. Get there. Get a little money here and there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the future, we will have a segment called Pond of the Pod. We've had that before. I'm putting this guy in charge of it, so he's going to come up with some really cool ODRs, any kind of rinks that you want to highlight. like we mentioned before, interviews with some hockey alumni from SHL. We got some really cool guests coming on in the next couple of weeks. We haven't banked any of them yet, but I could just tell you they're going to be some really cool, awesome people. I talk a lot. You got anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, we'll be coming to you from a little bit more of a permanent location, hopefully next time, kind of get our stuff together. And we are back. That is the most important part. Talking Pylons has resurfaced. We're here.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're not going away anytime soon.
I just got...
Have a great day or night, everybody, wherever you're listening from.